It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Murnell with KRWG News. A redistricting plan by New Mexico State Senate is still undecided. The Senate canceled a floor session on Monday amid negotiations. Lawmakers are trying to find common ground on Native American political priorities and efforts by lawmakers to avoid competitive pairing of incumbents in the next election. An indigenous protester facing federal charges for blocking construction machinery at a border wall site in Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument last year will have her case carry over into next year. From the Fronteras desk in Tucson, KJZZ's Elisa Resnick reports.
In court last month, Amber Ortega testified her beliefs as a Hiachiratam woman drove her to the construction line as it neared Quito Baquito Springs, a sacred site and historic homestead to her tribe. But the judge ruled a religious freedom defense could not be used because construction did not significantly hinder Ortega's ability to practice her faith. This month, Tucson defense attorney Amy Knight took over her case.
The act of defending her sacred lands is itself an exercise of religion.
That argument is the basis of a motion Knight filed challenging the judge's findings. A final verdict was expected this week, but with the new motion, a new hearing is scheduled for January. In Tucson, I'm Elisa Resnick.
The Las Cruces City Council reviewed the initial findings of an internal audit centered on evaluating the nonprofit application process for American Rescue Plan Act funding. Madison Staten has the details.
The city of Las Cruces has $10.4 million in American Rescue Plan Act funding on hand for community and economic development initiatives. While an initial request for a proposal process identified select community nonprofits eligible to receive funding, new concerns from both local nonprofits and the city auditor have prompted the Las Cruces City Council to reevaluate the application process before approving final funding priorities. City Auditor Viola Perea presented the initial findings of an internal audit review to the council.
Our preliminary observations show that the process followed to determine eligibility was not sufficiently designed or documented to support a clear, consistent, and transparent eligibility determination.
Councilor Tessa Beda-Stuvey made clear she wants to review the full audit before voting on funding priorities.
I do feel like we should wait and hear the full recommendations from our auditor and that final determinations that she has. I think that's the best process. I think we'll be able to look at those next steps of what's most ethical, legal, and where we should proceed from there.
In total, 21 applications were received by the city to be reviewed for eligibility. Of those, 9 were recommended to the council for funding. Applications were first sent to a 3-person committee to determine eligibility before being presented to a larger selection committee for scoring. Perea noted the lack of specific eligibility criteria during the initial review process, leaving questions about why some nonprofits were not recommended to the council for funding.
We were not able to find a clear and concise list, if you will, or a matrix, a checklist, something of that nature that would indicate these specific items would deem an application eligible, and any deviation from that would deem them ineligible.
City Housing and Neighborhood Services Manager Natalie Green says the 3-person committee, which she herself sat on, evaluated the applicants independently to determine eligibility.
Now, was there an exact rubric that I was going to check off economic harm? No, that did not exist. I would chalk that up to professional experience, right? I know I can look at a project and I can determine whether it's eligible or not eligible under 2 CFR 200. I read the ARPA guidelines multiple times.
The city auditor also voiced concern about potential areas of noncompliance, including select applicants having direct contact with the council, though Councilor Gabe Vasquez was quick to note he did not want to see any organizations penalized for speaking out against the process.
I think the organizations that made contact with us during our last council meeting did so almost in a whistleblower spirit, right, to make sure that the process was being followed correctly before council took a vote. And then it was found by our internal auditor, at least from our preliminary recommendations, that some things weren't followed. So it seems to me like a punishment to applicants to disqualify them after they rightfully highlighted some things that potentially are going to be found in this audit that were wrong.
Mayor Ken Miyagashima outlined what steps he would like to see the council take next.
I think it's important that we come up with a determination, the definition of who's eligible. I don't want to go through a full new process, but yet address some of the concerns that were brought up in the audit. And then let council move forward and be able to vote on those.
A complete version of the audit is expected to be presented to the city's oversight committee for review next month. For KRWG Public Media, I'm Madison Staten.
You can always stay updated with the latest news anytime at our website, krwg.org. Don't forget we're on social media. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and also subscribe to the KRWG News YouTube channel. Marketplace Morning Report is on the way right here on listener-supported KRWG Public Media.